Good afternoon, or morning, or evening, or whatever time it is when you're listening to this. My name is Matthew Minona, and hopefully you've been joining me for the last, well, almost a year now. We've been broadcasting on WMCH, 1260 AM radio, at 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday. We give you verse-by-verse Bible teachings, and we give them to you because we know the importance of the entirety of God's whole counsel. So you say, why do you ever ask us for money to help support this ministry? Well, because we're not a other-supported ministry. We are a self-supported ministry. Well, how do you earn the money to do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Have you heard of the Wash and Word? Probably by now you have if you're in the area. That's my wife and I's hand car washing business, and we opened it up for the sole purpose of having an outlet and a way of earning money that we can support our family and our home needs, but we also did it so that we can freely bring these verse-by-verse Bible teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you might say, well, I thought you only are on at 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday. Well, we are, but we at the Wash and Word here at the building transmit these messages 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on a small radio transmitter on 107.1 FM. So anytime, 24/7, that you need to hear a word from the Lord, or you're just in the area, maybe you're at the library or you're eating your burger from Pal's, and you know you're sitting in the parking lot waiting for your wife to finish up shopping at the antique, whatever it is, you can flip to 107.1. Maybe you're waiting in line to get your car washed, and there you can hear verse by verse Bible teaching 24/7, and that's important to us because that is why we exist. That is why we created this business. And the only thing that matters to us is getting God's word out into the public eye and into the public ear. Why do we do it? Because sadly, we believe that the churches, by and large, have diminished the word of God in their services. They have taken it and they have carefully selected the scriptures that they would love to talk about. And they have left out some of the more difficult and harder teachings. This is why we do verse by verse. So enough talk. If you have any questions about the ministry or the business, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. Let us get back into it. We'll pick up where we left off yesterday. And we are in the book of 1 Corinthians. We just finished chapter 9, so we're going to get into chapter 10. And, you know, all of chapter 7, 8, and 9 has dealt with the flesh. Paul has been talking about that part of us that doesn't like to stop doing those things that we enjoy. And you know as well as I do, the flesh can be a powerful draw. And one of the things Paul was rebuking in those last three chapters was the fact that so many so-called Christians were at peace with the behaviors that they were doing. And boy, does that not define some of the state that the church is in today? So many people living in sin, living with problems and blatant sins in their lives, and just excusing it away, just not even having any kind of conviction about it. And again, this goes back to the churches, by and large, not bringing that conviction on Sunday mornings anymore. They're careful not to bring out and talk about those sensitive subjects because, heaven forbid, they chase somebody out the door and those ties begin to go down and they no longer get the money that they are accustomed to getting. Look, I'm not anti-church. You know, if you've been listening to me for any length of time, I'm very pro-church. I'm pro-church the way church was meant to be done. I'm very anti-church with the way things have become. The church that God created, that Jesus created before he left, that Paul built upon in the early church, that is the greatest institution next to our covenant with Christ that's ever been instituted in the world. That church, that model that we're looking at right now in 1 Corinthians, that was the greatest entity God has ever created outside of the relationship we have with Christ. Listen, church is so important. Getting together with fellow believers and opening up God's word and sharing with one another our burdens and praying for and breaking bread and singing songs And having fellowship and prayer and all that stuff with like-minded believers as we all seek to change into the image of Christ is the greatest thing that's ever been distributed into the world. But the sad part is that's not the model of the church anymore. But I'd like to invite you to a church that is going back to that model. Abundant Life Fellowship in Church Hill on 415 Old Union Road. Pastor Joel Allen there has really created a unique environment. And sadly, it's unique because of what's going on in the world today, church-wide. But it's not unique because all he's done is gone back to the way church was meant to be done in 1 Corinthians 14, which eventually we'll get to. And if you want to come out, there's a Sunday school class at 10 o'clock. And then the regular service starts at 11. And then at Sunday nights is when I preach verse by verse at 6 p.m. Come on out. And if you feel like I do, like there's something missing in your service, there's something that's just too much has been added and too much has been taken away. You know in your heart of heart, in the deepest root of your soul and in your spirit, that something isn't right in the church. Come out and check out Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road. But this wasn't supposed to be a commercial for that. But we're getting back to what Paul is talking about here. You know, the church then and again now, we're at peace with our flesh, and it shouldn't be that way. And even though actions and behaviors that are in question might be perfectly okay with you, that is, your conscience or the spirit hasn't convicted you, because there are a lot of things that you're permitted to do as Christians that others might not think is right. We covered this extensively. And if you want to get some of the old messages, go to washandword.com and click on the media tab. But what he's saying, though, is when there is a conviction, that behavior has to stop immediately. And I used a lot of examples, and again, we're not going to rewind the whole last three chapters, but you can get those at the washandword.com website. So Paul winds this subject down here with a few more verses. Well, actually, we looked at them in our last message at the end of chapter 9, where, you know, he says that he doesn't just run around beating the air aimlessly or running aimlessly, but he says that he beats his body and makes it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So I want to look at those last few verses that Paul talked about, and we read them in our last message, so I won't read them again, but he's talking about the training. You know, I used to box when I was a younger man, and you know, shadow boxing is great training, but come fight night, there better be someone there to hit. You know, you don't just swing in the air. There's a reason you're there. And so the real attention to the end of chapter 9 here is that there is a training that must take place. And this is what Paul is saying. You know, there's an ancient games called the Isthmian Games. It's hard for me to say. But the participants had to prove that they trained for 10 months, and many of them gave up many of life's indulgences and, of course, diets and things like that, much like the Olympics games. And, you know, someone who has or is disciplining themselves for an athletic competition has to retrain the way that they eat and work and think and sleep. They have to retrain their lives in every aspect to compete for an athletic competition. And so they get up in the morning, and the first thing they think about is stretching. They have their healthy breakfast, their daily physical routine. Most of us regular folk, we just get up, and the first thing we do is get our coffee or read the paper. Then we go to work, and we eat and do whatever it is we want to do. But what a picture of the Christian walk we see at the end of chapter 9 here, that the Christian life is a disciplined life. And how that has gone by the wayside. You know, as Christians, we have to march to a different beat. That is, that our priorities and our goals and our behavior ought to look very different from what we might call regular people. And like an athletic trainer, it takes time to get into a pattern. It takes time for one's self to be molded into the image of Christ. Amen? Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will." See what he says there? Don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, you can sit there and wonder all you want as to why God doesn't reveal His plan for you. But if we don't do our part, we may never understand that plan. It may never be revealed to us. So how do we do it? Well, Romans 12:1, the verse before the one I just read, says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your reasonable act of worship." And so, I guess simply put, sacrifice precedes conformity. Sacrifice precedes conformity. Too often, we want to be conformed without the sacrifice. Or we think we'll conform first and have the sacrifice come later. God says, you're not going to be changed into anything until you first make the sacrifice yourself. And at some point in our Christian walks, wherever it is you may be along your Christian road, your spiritual maturity and experience is not going to matter. At some point, we all have to ask, why am I here? What is my purpose? And why did God save me? And whatever those answers are to you personally, though there are there's a general answer to those questions as a Christian, but when you ask those hard questions, what am I supposed to be doing, Lord? Where am I supposed to be serving? What am I even doing here? I feel like I don't have a place. There's nowhere for me to serve. I don't have a... When those questions come and you begin to answer them personally and God begins to reveal them to you, listen, it is going to take discipline because sacrifice precedes conformity. And the problem with Romans 12:1, that is being a living sacrifice, is that as a living sacrifice, and we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, as living, we keep crawling back off of the altar. We don't stay there. Listen, the devil is constantly trying to derail you. The devil is always trying to get you to stumble in your discipline. That's why they're called disciplines, because they're hard. Fasting and praying and reading your Bible and going to fellowship and denying yourself to help out others. These are disciplines. And unless you are overly gifted with certain types of gifts like compassion and helps and those types of things, it's going to be difficult for you to do that. And if you are gifted with compassions and helps, there'll be a time when God needs you to stand up and preach God's word, which if you have those other gifts, probably preaching and teaching is going to be the last thing on your list. So either way, it's a sacrifice. You know, we all just have different gifts, and the sacrifice thereof is giving those gifts in a way that are not comfortable for you. But again, the devil is seeking to make you ineffective in the Great Commission and the personal will and purpose that God has for your life. Part of that discipline is being able to let go of the freedoms that you have in Christ, i.e. chapter 9. And again, I don't want to rehash the whole chapter, but it was a great teaching by Paul, how we have such rights as Christians, yet if we deny them for the sake of the gospel, not only is our reward greater than anything that somebody could give us or support us, but the return for making yourself like one whom you're preaching or witnessing to, oh man, there's nothing brings the love of Christ like denying your rights, sacrificing those rights for the sake of another. People can see that. They can sense it. And that is how you draw people to Christ. Well, that about does it for today. Hope to see you at the Wash and Word. Come by and let us work on your car. This is how we earn the money to support this ministry. We're just glad to be doing it. we love God's word and we just want it to get out there. Hope to see you at the Washing Word. You have a blessed day.